We're now going to progress to some steps which are a bit more difficult.
Relax and enjoy yourself.
Ready, set, and begin.
There's something curious about this broadcast.
It tastes quite bad, but this is good for you.
On with the show!
You have got what appears to be a dynamite sound.
That's right.
A skinny little boy from Cleveland, Ohio, will come to chase your women and drink your beer.
Now. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only
crazy
Frank.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It is Crazy Frank Live. That time of the week where we get together, we sit around the old campfire, swap stories about women, love, loss, genital diseases, all that good stuff. Whatever you want to talk about. 605-215-5272. The doctor is in. Maybe that's what we should do with the show. We should just find, just take calls from people who have, what was that, the Love Line? There was some, and I never really watched it, but there was a Dr. Drew and then the guy from The Man Show. Carolla, Adam Carolla. Had to think about that for a minute. So you had Adam Carolla and the Dr. Drew guy from, and they would take phone calls from people who had things go go awry with their genitals or some bizarre sexual, it was always some kind of fucked up sexual thing. Like that kid today from the outdoor story of the day who had a golf ball in his asshole. And that was a true story. Because sometimes you see these TV shows and people call in and you wonder, is that real? But then you find out, now that the internet has become a thing, you start finding out that these things are real. A kid in Australia, they didn't say what he was doing, but he ended up with a golf ball in his ass, like way up his ass. It kind of reminded me, when we were kids, Doug Plymel, for whatever reason, decided that we were third grade, fourth grade maybe, wasn't any more than fourth grade. And he decided that he was going to snort a kernel of corn. And I think he just did it because it was goofy and he was looking for the reaction. Kids do shit like that because they're looking for the reaction. And if you think about it, people are no different today with social media. You post a photo or something on Facebook, and then you hope you get a bunch of likes on it. I've never really cared, honestly. I treat Facebook like my personal diary. If something happens in my life of note, I put it on there, and I don't give a flying shit if people like it or not. I just put it on there because it's something that I want to make note of. And what I love about it is you can include photos, and I will get these things 5 years ago, memories from 5 years ago, memories from 7 years ago. And you think, oh, look how much thinner I was then, or, you know, whatever it is. Oh, I remember that day. Kind of like looking through a photo album, except it's digital. That's what I use Facebook for. And if people like it or not like it, I could give a shit less. I'm not in a popularity contest with it. Never really have been. But if you think about it, a lot of people are obsessed with that. I'll never forget shortly after we started the Badlands, the lovely Chris Knight had posted something on the K-Bad Facebook page. Like, she must have thought it was gold. And she was really stressing about it. Oh, nobody's liked this yet. Maybe I should do a sponsored ad. Trying to get more people to like it. Like, what do you care? People are going to like it or not. Eh, whatever. What are you going to do? So, anyway, you got this kid, Doug Plymel, he snorted a kernel of corn. And it went up in his nose, and then everybody's laughing and having a good time about it. But then it must have started burning. It must have went up a little far. He must have known it had gone up a little farther than it should have. And he started to freak out. And what I've learned over the course of my life is no matter what happens to you, don't freak out. Don't freak out. The worst thing you can do is freak out. Because when you freak out, things get worse times 12, at least. He panicked. What they say in A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, don't panic. This guy panicked. And he shot his, like, almost instinctively, shot his finger up his nose, trying to dig the kernel of corn out. And as you might imagine, it just shoved it up even further. And then he had to go to the nurse's office, and then the nurse was digging around up his nose with, I don't know, some hemostats or something. They managed to get it out. But really, all the kid had to do before he freaked out was plug one nostril and farmer blow, and he probably would have dislodged the corn. I can only suspect something similar happened to the kid in Australia who ended up with a golf ball in his asshole. I mean, what do you do? He must have been trying to dig around, trying to pull it out, and then it just got shoved up even further, and then he freaked out and told his mom, Mom! And if you're this kid's mom, I imagine she's in the kitchen, you know, fixing dinner for the night. Very domestic kind of household. Dad's at work. It's after school, probably, you know, 4:30 in the afternoon. Kid comes waddling down the stairs. Mom! How do you tell your mom you have a golf ball in your asshole? I suppose at least it's not a football. Then they take him to the doctor. Now, after reading this story, the absolute last place I ever want to seek medical attention is in fucking Australia. Because as you read the story, it sounded like the Three Stooges were trying to get this golf ball out of this kid's asshole. And they tried all these different things. They tried like a three-pronged thing. They tried a suction cup. They tried, you know, the one guy had ET fingers and they rammed them up there. Salad tongs. They tried everything. And it just keeps packing it up further and further. And these are the doctors. Although, I don't know that doctors are necessarily trained for such things. How to get a golf ball out of somebody's asshole. Why is that even a thing? I mean, I've thought about this pretty much all ever since I read this story. Like, what's going on in somebody's mind that they thought, hey, I think I'm going to stick a golf ball in my asshole? It must have been some kind of TikTok thing. That's all I can imagine. Some sort of, and I don't do the TikTok. People have told me, oh, you should do the TikTok. It took me years to do the podcast thing. I don't know that I'm going to TikTok because now I got to come up with video content. Next thing you know, it could be me trying to cram golf balls up my ass. So finally, some logic happens to, I don't know if the doctors were panicking as well or what. But finally, they're like, hey, I got an idea. Let's just give the kid a shitload of laxatives and see if he can push it out. And that seems to be what happened. Took out a window or something. He built all that pressure up. Reminded me of I was probably 19 or 20. And a friend of mine, I've only been to one bachelor party in my life. One bachelor party in my life. Not that I haven't been invited, but this is why I've only attended one and never again. So a friend of mine's getting married. He's going to have a bachelor party. And they said, hey, you were invited to my bachelor party. So you see him on TV. You know, they made a movie, Bachelor Party. And there's, you know, hookers and, you know, all kinds of crazy shit going on. I'm expecting this is going to be a blast. So I said, absolutely, count me in. I'll go to this bachelor party. I thought it was going to be a Bacchus-level event. Absolute carnal pleasures. Because that's what the bachelor party is, right? That's the big hurrah before you can't do any of this crazy shit anymore. Why that's a thing, I guess I don't know. Because if you're going to get married, you're probably pretty serious with whoever you're going to get married to. So all of this, you know, debauchery is probably off the table anyway. But I don't know if it's because people get a hall pass. How this works, that's for another discussion. But I'm invited to this bachelor party. And they the day of the bachelor party arrives, and I'm talking to the one guy on the phone. He says, "You're in charge of porn." What the fuck does that mean? I'm in charge of what? Yeah, go to the video store and get us some porn. So then I'm thinking in my head, okay, well, this is one of those situations where they're going to put on some porno movies for ambiance, right? You're going to have the strippers and all this other stuff going on, and then they're going to have a few TVs set up, and instead of like a football game going on, they've got like porno. So, like, I'm in charge of, okay, no problem. So I went to the video store. And to be honest with you, this was the first time I'd ever been through the gates. You know, most of these video stores had those, why they were those Western fucking swinging doors, like in an old-timey saloon, I don't know. But it seemed like every video store had the quote-unquote adult section. They had the Western swingy doors. And you knew on the other side of the Western swingy doors was a Lando porn. But even at that age, I really wasn't into porn. So And even though I was mildly curious about what sort of movies were beyond the swinging doors, I always thought I would feel a little creepy just going in there, just stepping foot, because you'd see the dudes coming out of there, and they were all super creepy looking. But I was designated the porn getter guy. So I'm looking at the porn like a person might look at a regular video in any other section of the video store. I grab the box, I flip it over, I'm reading the synopsis on the back. An innocent farm girl learns the wicked, wicked ways of the city. Valerie Bertinelli stars. A chick that looks like Valerie Bertinelli stars. That was the common theme I recall from my one excursion into porn land, was that they liked to find, at the time anyway, porno actresses that kind of looked like famous people. Chick that looks like... Boy, you know, I've always wanted to bang Valerie Bertinelli. I'm going to check this movie out. Ooh, she does it all. So, since I'm a goof, I ended up with porno titles that were like cartoons. One of them was The Seven Dwarves, and the premise was Snow White was rendered unconscious. She was under the spell of the whatever the fuck that story goes. Snow White is out like a light, and the Seven Dwarves are all essentially raping her, and it was comical. I remember the one dwarf had got an air pump and pumped up his dick real big. And unbeknownst to him, another dwarf had dove into her vagina. And then the dwarf that had the pumped up with a bicycle air pump dick started banging Snow White. And the other dwarf, of course, was in there, and he's getting all beat up by this guy's Johnson. And, you know, I suppose if you're a kid, this is funny. And they were, you know, her tits were a ski slope, that sort of thing. So that was the one movie. And then the other, and I remember he put it on, and everybody's sitting around, and they're like, "What kind of garbage is this?" I'm like, where are the chicks? It's just a bunch of dudes sitting around watching pornos? This does not seem like a heterosexual activity. Like, in my head, the bachelor party was supposed to be the ultimate alpha male, hetero whatever. And instead, it was just a bunch of dudes sitting around watching pornos and drinking cheap beer. It seemed pretty lame. So it's like, what, me? I'm the one that ruined your bachelor party because I didn't get the right kind of porn? So the second movie, the premise was there was this, I don't know if he was just a, I think he was just a regular guy. He was a regular guy, but he had a giant dong. And I forget how this happened, but there was a beautiful princess who had a curse put on her. And she, the terrible curse made her an old, nasty-looking witch. And the only way the spell could be broken and she could return to being the beautiful young woman that she was she had to have 69 consecutive orgasms. So it's kind of like a Beauty and the Beast sort of thing, except for instead of just falling in love, you have to make this nasty woman. She's got to find somebody to voluntarily bang her so much that she can have 69 consecutive orgasms. And she searched the world high and low looking for somebody who could achieve this, you know, Herculean feat. And she stumbles across this guy, this regular average guy with his giant dong. Now, as you might imagine, if you've got some nasty, haggard-looking broad chasing after you, you run. Because if she was a beautiful princess, you'd be like, no problem, I'll give it a try. So she's chasing this guy, and he goes into hiding. He goes into hiding by joining the circus. See, we're all circling back around to the whole golf ball in the ass thing. This is how my brain works. So here's what happens. He joins the circus, and they're like, what do you know about the circus? And the guy's like, I don't know anything about the circus. He said, okay, well, we're going to put you in charge of the elephants. It'll be impossible to fuck that up. So they put the guy in charge of just taking care of the elephants. And this guy's just a nice guy. He's just shooting the shit with the elephants and petting them and talking to them and giving them all kinds of good stuff to eat. And then the one zookeeper guy or the animal circus dude comes around. He's like, hey, you can't feed the elephants that stuff. It's going to give them the shits. So then, as I guess was commonplace in cartoon land in days of yore, when beautiful princesses are having spells put on them and such. And I really didn't know any of this reading the back of it. It was just like, I don't know, it's a midget guy with a giant dick and it's a cartoon. Whatever, we'll get that. How bad could that be? And now, 30 years later, I'm still talking about it. So, and now you get to hear about it. So anyway, the guy feeds all these elephants this stuff that's going to give them the shits. But it, as is the custom, apparently, when the circus comes to town, all the circus animals come marching in like a parade as they march in, and then they get set up in the big top and all that stuff. But the whole townspeople show up to watch, to greet the parade, or the parade of animals, the circus coming into town. And when it got to the elephants all have these giant corks in their asses with rope tied around them. Because presumably they were afraid that the elephants were going to shit. But because you have the cork there and then their guts are rumbling because they've got the shits, as you might imagine, the ropes break, the corks shoot out, and it blasts the crowd with shit. And I'm laughing because I'm, you know, whatever, high. I was probably very high at the time. Because I was 19, 20 years old. High as a kite, probably a little drunk. And I'm laughing my ass off. And all my friends are looking at me like I'm the biggest dick that ever walked the earth for getting this kind of porno. Anyway, so when I think of this Australian kid going to the doctor, having the golf ball up his ass, some doctor finally, I imagine he went in overnight. And the overnight doctors are always the B team or the C team. And it wasn't until the next day when somebody with half a brain came in and said, why are you trying to dig this out of this kid's ass? Just give him a bunch of laxatives and it'll pass. If it went in there, it ought to come out. And I imagine that's what happened with the golf ball. Takes me back to that cinematic masterpiece. I should try to Google that. See if I can find that video. I can't be the only one that's ever seen it. I mean, I rented the video. Anyway, I'm being asked at 5:56 p.m. show tonight. Indeed. I get these random messages from this hot chick out in the middle of nowhere. People don't believe me that this happens to me, but it does. I mean, honestly, I get messages from chicks that are not very hot, but this particular chick is pretty hot. They're like, hey. Like, ah, this is a trick. I feel a little like this is a trick. These are your sister's pictures, right? Anyway. I actually didn't need bread, but the only other items in my cart were a toaster and a bath plug. I didn't want the cashier to worry. Buying a toaster and a bath plug. Anyway, let's see here. What do we got interesting going? Oh, Ozzy Osbourne announces on Facebook, social media, that he is essentially retiring from touring. Maybe live shows altogether. Somebody says, oh, God, please don't take calls. We, the listeners, are fucking morons. No, everybody's got their own thing. Everybody's got their own thing. Yeah, I was at Costco today, and everybody, every cart, everybody's within earshot of me had multiple orders in their cart. Like, you go up to the thing, and the gal says, is this, you know, all your shit? You know, oh, no, no, this is, I got 9 different orders. Ozzy Osbourne announcing that he is retiring from, apparently he took a tumble. I've not been following it, the whole, because I liked Ozzy Osbourne, Randy Rhoads, that era, early Ozzy. I was really into it when I was a kid. The subsequent, you know, the Jakey Lees and all of that, it kind of lost me. I've not been a, whatever you would call an Ozzy Osbourne. You know, what do they call the people that really like Ozzy people? Like, what are his fans called? Do they have a name? I'm not one of those people. But he had some sort of a tumble or injury, and he's been doing, according to this post that he made. Well, I got it right here in front of me, actually, now that I'm from when I read it this morning. He writes, this is probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to share with my loyal fans. As you may all know, 4 years ago this month, I had a major accident where I damaged my spine. My one and only purpose during this time has been to get back on stage. My singing voice is fine, however, after 3 operations, stem cell treatments, endless physical therapy sessions, and most recently, groundbreaking cybernics, in parentheses, HAL treatment, my body is still physically weak. I'm honestly humbled by the way you've all patiently held onto your tickets for all this time. For 4 years? People have been hanging onto their tickets for 4 years? Humbled by the way you've all patiently held on to your tickets for all this time, but in all good conscience, I have now come to the realization that I'm not physically capable of doing my upcoming European UK tour dates, as I know I couldn't deal with the travel required. Believe me when I say that the thought of disappointing my fans really fucks me up more than you'll ever know. Never would I have imagined that my touring days would have ended this way. My team is currently coming up with ideas for where I'll be able to perform without having to travel from city to city and country to country. Well, that's what you do. You just do a couple of really big shows, right? Like a residency kind of thing, like Garth Brooks did. I mean, I guess as I read this, what kind of travel does he really... I mean, he's Ozzy Osbourne. He's got plenty of money. You walk out your door, you get into a limo. You take the limo to the private jet. You could probably find somebody to carry you up the stairs if you needed to. Put you on a fucking stretcher. They'd carry him around like the Queen of Sheba or whatever the fuck her name was. Sheba? Queen of Sheba? something. You know who I'm talking about. The bitch on the thing that somebody's feeding her grapes and she's just laying out. And you got dudes carrying around with sticks, carrying the whole platform. Get those fucking people to carry Ozzy around. I guarantee you could probably find people to do it for free because it's Ozzy. And they love him that much. If that's his big thing, his singing voice is fine, but because let's face it, the videos I've seen of his performances, he's not exactly doing jumping jacks on the stage. Hasn't for years. I don't think he was doing that when he was in his prime. Look at these videos of Ozzy singing with Black Sabbath in the 70s. He's like a stick in the mud. So it's not like he's David Lee Roth, ow, jumping around all over the place and doing crazy splits and wearing those ridiculous Dumb and Dumber ski boot things. I mean, he stands there. Anyway, he says he couldn't have ever imagined his touring days would have ended this way. Team's currently coming up with ideas for where I'll be able to perform without having to travel from city to city and country to country. I want to thank my family, my band, my crew, my longtime friends, Judas Priest, and of course my fans for their endless dedication, loyalty, and support, and for giving me the life I never dreamed I would have. I love you all. Tickets, refunds are available at the point of purchase. So, Ozzy hanging it up from touring anyway. But honestly, what's Ozzy touring for now anyway? Has he not made enough money? I know, he probably loves it. Not about the money. What else is he going to do? If you're Ozzy Osbourne, what else are you going to do with your time? Paint? Hard to say. Speaking of comebacks, I read somewhere that Roseanne Barr is making a comeback. Roseanne Barr. I found that by complete accident. I had read, somebody had posted like a screenshot of a story that suggested that Roseanne Barr had sued the producers of the show The Conners. So here's the backstory if if you're not familiar. Man, it's only 7:30. I was thinking for sure I was going to go over, and it's only 7:30. Roseanne Barr, they reboot the Roseanne show. And I want to say that, and I was never a Roseanne show fan to begin with. I am aware of its existence. I had seen a couple of episodes because you'd go to somebody's house and it was on. You know, you're sitting around packing a bowl, whatever it is, and the TV's on and it's Roseanne. So you sit and watch it. Maybe you watch the next episode after that and you're like, you know what, I got to go. That was my exposure to the Roseanne show. So, you know, as they have been doing in the last, you know, 10 years pretty much, rebooting all these old shows, and I thought, hey, well, I'll give it a watch, see what I think. And I seem to recall thinking the first one, the first Roseanne episode, was pretty weak. But then subsequent episodes I thought were actually pretty decent. I thought, well, this isn't a bad, I'm enjoying this. I'm looking forward to next week's episode. Not enough to go back and watch the old Roseannes, but I'm watching the new ones. And then Roseanne Barr says something about, man, was Barack Obama still the president? This might have been just before Donald Trump won. I don't remember exactly. But she said something about some lady and equated her to an ape. And it turns out that gal was black. And then now Roseanne Barr labeled this horrible racist, and they canceled, like almost immediately canceled the Roseanne show. I understand her management canceled her, her talent agency, whatever, who the hell she was working for, or who was representing her, dropped her like a hot potato. And a lot of people were kind of upset because, well, they liked the show and they were bummed that the show wasn't going to happen. And then you had all the people that had come basically out of mothballs to do this show are like, wow, this might be even bigger than it ever was before. And then Roseanne basically shit in the punch bowl. So then they retooled it. They said, how about we do this? We kill off Roseanne, and then we really don't talk about her anymore. And then the family continues on without Roseanne. Let's try that. And that apparently has been successful. But I see a screenshot from somebody, I don't know how true it is, but it said that a jury had awarded her some, I don't know. But there was no link. It was just a screenshot of a story. So now I want to read more, and I Google it, and the top hit that I get is Roseanne making a comeback. A comedy special, I want to say, on Fox. Now, let me say this. I never found Roseanne Barr to be particularly funny. In fact, I'm one of those people that I'm of the opinion that most female comics are not very funny. There are some exceptions. But by and large, I just don't find them very funny. Roseanne. Now I'm going to get people who say, oh, well, you're just sexist. No. No, say something funny. Now those people will say, yeah, well, you're not very funny. True. I'm not trying to be. I'm not making my living as a comic. I'm not really making my living doing much of anything. Now I won't be able to find it. This is a recurring character returning to... Yeah. Now I won't be able to find it, but I was... Roseanne returning character... No, Roseanne Barr. Roseanne comedy special. And maybe it was just a goof. Maybe it was one of those Onion stories. Oh, Roseanne Barr's Fox Nation comedy special. 2 days ago. Roseanne Barr will make her return to stand-up comedy after nearly 20 years away from the microphone as part of a new special that will stream on Fox Nation, Fox News streaming service. The hour-long special titled Cancel This will be available to stream on February 13th, the Monday after the Super Bowl, after it was filmed in front of a live studio audience in Houston. I hope she got Bill Cosby to open. Barr, a controversial personality in comedy and noted supporter of former President Donald Trump, had her popular sitcom Roseanne canceled and rebranded The Conners in 2018 after she tweeted racist comments about former Obama administration advisor Valerie Jarrett. Said she looked like an ape. How dare you? What does she look like? Valerie Jarrett. Let's get a photo of her. Well, I'm kind of disappointed. Oh, you know, I was Planet of the Apes. I think she said something about this woman looking like she was on Planet of the Apes. And now that I'm Googling this chick, she does kind of look like that that chick from Planet of the Apes. Like the original, the Charlton Heston one, you know, like a TV series. There was that female doctor. I didn't really watch it a lot. It was another one of those shows when I was a kid. Somebody was always, you know, had it on at it was on the TV. You walked in, oh, it's Planet of the Apes. I never got into it. I was more of a Star Trek guy. Well, if she looks like the chick from Planet of the Apes, that's what she looks like. She's very fair complected. I don't know that it's racist. If you look, I mean, what are you going to do? And I don't know Roseanne Barr. She could be ridiculously racist. But if I looked like one of the dudes from Planet of the Apes, I don't know that any of the people in the movie, in the TV shows, Planet of the Apes, were actually black people. I think they were white people. Weren't they? I'm going to Google it now. Planet of the Apes cast. I think they were mostly white people. I think in the remake, they made a really cool movie. I think a lot of those folks were of African descent. So yeah, you had Linda Harrison played Nova. Roddy McDowell was Cornelius, not a black guy. I don't think there was a black guy in there. There's Maurice Evans. Planet of the Apes. Yeah. I'm scrolling through the cast of Planet of the Apes. You got Robert Gunner, Lou Wagner. None of these people are black. Oh. Now, wait a second. This Jeff Burton guy might have been. Got Norman Burton was the hunt leader. Jeff Burton played Dodge. Lars Henson, definitely not black. Charlton Heston, it could be a little black. I don't know if this chick is black or Italian. Vittoria Febi, probably Italian. I don't know. I don't remember the context, but I think she had said that this lady looked like she was on Planet of the Apes. But when I Google image search this lady, she looks like the chick that played the, she's like the doctor lady in Planet of the Apes. I don't think that... Whatever. Now I'm probably going to catch shit for it. But I mean, how are you going to deny that? And since there were no black people in the movie Planet of the Apes, well, the original one anyway, you're saying that this lady looks like a white person dressed up like a monkey. And they weren't even like full-on monkeys in Planet of the Apes. The monkeys in Planet of the Apes were, or apes, I guess I should say. They weren't monkeys. They were apes. But they weren't like regular apes. They were intelligent, you know, scientists and doctors and all kinds of stuff. Like the idea of Planet of the Apes was that the humans weren't the dominant species. Instead, the apes had evolved to create society and do all this stuff. Right? That was the premise? Or maybe it was that, I don't know. I guess I never watched it. I just knew that they were really smart apes and that the humans were the ones that were in cages, getting tests done on them and shit like that. But I don't think the show was ever, I never thought, boy, this is a really racist show. Most sci-fi tends to be pretty unracist. Right? I don't know. Although I did feel a little like Star Wars was awful white to start out with. Then they were like, you know what this movie needs? A black guy. And then you got Lando Calrissian. Probably the coolest black fucking guy that's ever lived. Yeah. Billy Dee Williams. Say what you will. He's a cool some bitch. He's still alive. We should get him on the show. If Billy Dee Williams had said this Valerie Janet chick looked like the chick from Planet of the... I think it's who says it. There was... who was it? Like Don Imus or something had referred to some ladies' basketball team as nappy-headed hoes. And all hell broke loose. He said that was super racist. That he called those women a bunch of nappy-headed hoes. And I'll never forget they had Wanda Sykes on some TV show. I forget which one. And they asked her what she thought. And she's like, man, everybody asked me that. Since when did I become the spokesperson for nappy-headed ho? Wanda Sykes, she's funny. She's one of them funny ladies. I enjoy the hell out of her. She's funny. Put her on the list. There was another really funny gal, too. She was just at Grand Falls not long ago, and I think Zach Dresch opened up for her. Not emotionally. He actually came out and did a bit before she came out and did her thing. Can't think of her name, but she was funny as hell, too. Then they took her show off, and then we get that I can't think of what's her. The pudgy girl. Can't think of her name. She's been in a ton of stuff. She's the one that everybody put, oh, she's so funny. And she's not. I can't think of her name now. At one point, she was going to be Barbie, I read. That they had cast her. They were going to do a real-life Barbie movie. And this chick was going to be Barbie. And people were like, what? And then it was this whole thing. And then I don't know whatever happened to that project. But, yeah. Anyway, so Roseanne, I still don't know if Roseanne actually was even upset about the Connors continuing. But the screenshot, I said, suggested that she was worked up about them stealing Roseanne, the show. Yeah. And originally when I read this story about Roseanne Barr's comedy special, I thought it was going to be on Fox, like Fox TV. But no, it's going to be on the Fox News streaming service. So, yeah. Insert jokes about racist here. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know the woman, but I really doubt when she said this woman looked like the chick from Planet of the Apes that she was trying to make a racist thing. Like if she said, well, the lady looks like an actual ape, like a real life swinging in the trees ape, then I could see why people would be like, whoa, come on, man. But when she's saying it, she looks like a fictional character. A fictional character that was portrayed by a white person. Ah, whatever. People just love to get offended by shit. But you know what? If I'm being honest, I think the Connors is probably better off without her anyway. I don't think Roseanne Barr is that funny. Anyway, what else do we got going on? About 12 minutes left. I'm going to get angry letters. Harriet here. Facebook is for the lonely and for the attention whores. Or as I like to say, whoas. Harriet here. Facebook is for the lonely and for the attention whoas. You know I feel this way. I thought I'd say it again because I enjoy saying it. I'll say it again in the future. Anyway, some old guy in the news several months ago had surgery and a small bean plant was on his lung. He must have inhaled the bean at some point. Weird shit happens. There's a bean plant growing in his lung. That probably would tingle. This person writes back at 1:34 p.m., I absolutely loved the Recovering the Satellites album from the Counting Crows. Maybe not exactly our rock, but it's great to hear a long December on the Ballad Salad. K-Back kicks all the ass. Not just some of it. All the ass. Lost and Found, it's a live version, but I don't hear it. Really good. I don't know what that means. Anyway, that's all the news that is news, I suppose. I didn't do it last week. I was didn't do the Crazy Frank Live thing last week. I was at my dearest daughter's Paw Patrol thing. the live-action Paw Patrol. It was her third birthday present. Was originally supposed to do it, well, early last year. Man, I want to say it was like March or April, maybe. But it was going to be a slightly early third birthday present because she really likes Paw Patrol. And then something happened in Brookings. There was a power outage. They couldn't get the electricity restored to the Swiftel Center. And as a result, they're like, we have to cancel the show. Well, I got, these were front row seats. Front row seats with a meet and greet. So she gets to meet the Paw Patrol. I thought, she's going to lose her fucking mind. And then it got canceled, and then they rescheduled it for, well, last week, Thursday. Originally, it was on a, I want to say a Sunday. But anyway, so I go to see the thing on Thursday. And she, above and beyond, just out of her mind, loves this. And there's a Paw Patrol... basically a video of a live show that she's watched a gazillion times. And this wasn't the same show. It was a different story, but the same characters. And as soon as they started coming out, it's a good thing she still wears diapers, because I guarantee you she probably pissed and maybe even shat herself a little bit when all these Marshall, Rubble, Sky, Chase, Zuma, yeah! You know, I'm probably missing some, but they'll come running out. And she's like, ah! Her little mind was good. And she's front row. Front row. So at the end of the performance, they have the meet and greet. Now she gets to meet the Paw Patrol. And she's just, like she did a huge line of coke, you know, just, She can't even wrap her brain around this. Honestly, I'm surprised she didn't try to climb up onto the stage as soon as they started coming out. I'm surprised she didn't just leap up there and try to jump in and participate. So we go to the meet and greet. And they tell us as we're walking out there, no hugs, high fives are okay, don't stand too close to them. And then it's two bozos and... they're the jankiest looking. I mean, they weren't even close to the Paw Patrol, like at least on the stage, the costumes they had. You could tell there was a human in there, but they were very Paw Patrol puppet-esque. You know, they looked like they were basically large puppets. And there was a human standing in there making the back legs work. I thought that's what they were going to get the meet and greet with. But instead, they get a meet and greet with some super ultra, like right off the boat from China, unauthorized Paw Patrol. Like, you don't even look anything like the Paw Patrol people. You look like a person with a Paw Patrol head. And some little girl in front of us just wanted to hug. Sky is the big female character in this. That's her name, Sky. And lots of little girls love Sky because, well, Sky is a girl. All the other Paw Patrol dogs are boys. Except for Zuma. I'm not sure if Zuma is a boy or a girl. She's probably one of those theys, you know? You got to throw one in. So everybody's represented. I mean, they're dogs, so nobody has to worry about, you know, race because they're all fucking dogs. But you got Zuma. I don't know. Is Zuma a boy or a girl? Like, I watch the credits to see who's voicing it. And sometimes it's a dude, sometimes it's a chick. So it's kind of up in the air. Anyway, but they've got Sky, and all the little girls love Sky. All the girly girls, anyway, love Sky. Because she flies around, and she's got a little helicopter. And it's like a poodle of some sort, I think, is what she is. Because all the dogs are different breeds. Like Chase is the cop dog, and he's a German Shepherd. And then you have Marshall, who's the fire dog, and he's, of course, a Dalmatian. You know, you get where this is going. Zuma is the got like a hovercraft and does shit with water, and so Zuma's a lab of some sort. Rubble is the he's got like a dump truck looking thing that he drives around, and he's a little bulldog. So you get what the breed of dog kind of. So I don't know why the Cocker Spaniel flies in a helicopter, but they had to pick a breed, pull it out of a hat, fuck it, whatever, this is how you do it. But this little girl in front of us, you could tell she really, really, really loved this guy. And you know, her parents sold this on, you know, told her, hey, we're going to go see the Paw Patrol. I told Ava this. We're going to go see the Paw Patrol. You're going to get to meet some members of the Paw Patrol. We knew that there was only going to be two cast members. But it said cast member. So I thought we were going to have, you know, somebody that was just running around up on the stage. You just take them backstage. You take some photos. I mean, I wasn't expecting that Ava could hop on this thing and ride this person around like a donkey. But put her arm around the thing and get a, I mean, you know, fuck. Alice Cooper let me do that to him. Some schlub in a costume can't do that? Anyway, this little girl was so devastated that she couldn't hug Sky. They almost got violent with this little girl. She's like, oh, and she goes running up. She wants to give Sky the hug. And then the chick in the Sky costume is like, get back, bitch. You know, just about mace her. Personal space, high fives only. She gives the kid like a high five to the face. Psh. Oh, that little girl was devastated. She climbed under a table and was sobbing uncontrollably. Like, oh my God, I hope Ava doesn't freak out. And it turns out Ava was just so, you know, like these kids, the first time they meet Santa Claus, they're so just dazed that they're like, ah. Come on, kid, what do you want for Christmas? Ah. All right, then. Get him out of here. That was Ava. Her little brain couldn't even process it. If she'd been a couple years older, she might have been devastated. But that's how I spent my Thursday. And then the drive home was brutal. Like the drive there, smooth sailing. You know, Brookings is at the speed limit's 80-something miles an hour. So when the highway's clear, bam, you could be there in 45 minutes tops. Roads were nice and clear. But when we pack up and we get out of this joint, the snow was just coming in sideways and visibility was nil. So it took like an hour and a half to get home for the drive home. But and then of course Ava was passed out. But she had a great time, so I don't feel the slightest bit bad about missing the Crazy Frank Live thing last Thursday. I was doing the family thing, which is probably genuinely my favorite thing. It's my favorite thing. In fact, I'll share this next story with you, and then I'm going to go, because I'm going to go do what I'm about to talk to you about. But I was playing with my daughter Ava not long ago with some little blocks or something, and I thought to myself, I bet you she would love Lincoln Logs. So I grab my phone, and I Google Lincoln Logs, because I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to go buy her a set of Lincoln Logs. Because when I was a kid, I had Lincoln Logs. And you know why I had Lincoln Logs? Because they were cheap. You know, Legos were expensive. Lincoln Logs is fucking wood. It was the basicest building thing that existed. The only reason I guarantee you the only reason why I had Lincoln Logs was because they were dirt cheap. Nobody wanted them. They're fucking Lincoln Logs. I had tons of, I love building cabins and stuff with Lincoln Logs. So I thought, this is going to be perfect. I forget what we were doing, but I remember thinking to myself, she would probably love Lincoln Logs. And I could be crazy, too. I mean, I am crazy, so there's that. So I Google it, and they're not giving away Lincoln Logs anymore. Holy shit. I'll Google it right now. But I'm thinking to myself, there's no way I can afford a 100-piece Lincoln Log set. And let me tell you, friends, 100 pieces of Lincoln Logs ain't a lot of Lincoln Logs. because every one of those little corner pieces is a piece. The a collector tin with 111 pieces is $40. Here's these are like knockoff Lincoln Logs called Stain Smart Junior. You can get a 450 piece set of these things. That's $70. $70 for Lincoln. These are generic Lincoln Logs. Here's a 327 piece real wood Lincoln Log set. $109. $109 for fucking Lincoln Logs. This is scrap wood. I mean, that's what this is. And they have some like knockoff Lincoln Log you can get. 110 pieces, $30. Lincoln. And like I said, what are you going to do with 110 pieces of Lincoln Logs? Anyway, so I kind of like, well, I guess I won't be getting Lincoln Logs. Because I ain't got that kind of bread. And I didn't even know that she's going to like them. So today I was going to Guitar Center to sell some stuff to pay some bills, which the folks at Guitar Center, if you have, let me just say this, if you have any musical stuff that you want to sell and turn into cash quickly, take it to Guitar Center. They pay you fairly. They'll tell you, this is what we're going to try to sell it at, and this is what we'll give you. And what they give you is better than half of what they're going to try to sell it for. God bless them. Yeah, you could stick it on eBay, and I do sell stuff on eBay, but not as much as I, because you get to dick around with shipping it, then you're paying the eBay fees and the PayPal fees and the, you know. Oh, and then if somebody doesn't, well, I thought it was going to do this and I want my money, but you got to deal with all that bullshit. You just take it to Guitar Center and sell it to them. You don't got to worry about any of that. They just give you cash on the spot and off you go. And they give you way more than a pawn shop ever would. And I'm not selling stuff that I love. This is just extra stuff I had, just kind of, I tend to pack rat stuff. You know, some people buy stocks and bonds and shit. I have shit that I can sell if I need to, you know, turn it into coin of the realm. So I was over at Guitar Center selling this stuff. And I had a bag of just Ava stuff that, like clothes and crap, that I just wanted to get out of the house, but it was too nice to throw out. I thought I'll donate it. So I drop it off at Savers. And I thought, since I'm at Savers, dropping it off in the front box there, I should at least go in and do a pass, take a look through and see what's in there. And wouldn't you know it, I go back around to the toy section to look to see what they've got, and there's this giant-ass bag of Lincoln Logs, $12. So that's what I told Ava I'm going to do. I said, we're going to do the show, and then when I get done doing the show, I'm going to come upstairs, and I'm going to introduce you to the wonderful world of Lincoln Logs. So, and I probably haven't played with Lincoln Logs since I was 9 years old. So maybe even younger than that. Probably six years old was the last time I dicked around with Lincoln Logs. I'm going to rediscover them with my three-year-old in just a few moments. So with that, I bid you adieu. Have a wonderful evening, guys. Thank you for joining me. I'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning for the regular, you know, thing that I do. If you like the podcast, you want to listen to this show or past episodes, go to kbackradio.com, click on the Crazy Frank Live link, and there they all are, 60-some-odd episodes. This episode is being recorded now. I'll save it, and I'll upload it, and it'll be available on the website here this evening at some point. But, yeah, that's going to do it for me. I'm out of here. I'll see you tomorrow. Be cool. Be good. Don't be too good. Don't let your meat loaf, all that other good stuff. Till tomorrow. Bye.